Geek Orthodox. I'm Father Justin, geek from my youth. Let's not put too fine a point on it. This, Meryl Streep could finally ascend to godhead as Narnia's Aslan, as the AV Club appropriately entitled the headline, this is blasphemy. I don't use the word lightly, and I don't use the word as perhaps our Muslim Abrahamic brethren might use it. As Christians, we don't stone people for blasphemy. We mourn it. We can even get angry at it, I think. And I think it's fair. This collection of stories is, for me, as close to scripture as anything else can be from my youth. Aslan is, as Lewis is very clear, a representation of Christ. It's not an allegorical representation of Christ, but it's actually something even more grounded, if you will. It's a what-if representation of Christ. That is to say, if Christ is the Word of God, the member of the Trinity who manifests God the Father to the world, and if there are alternate universes, if there are different realities, what form would he take if the place where he has to redeem someone is a place full of talking animals? He would take the form of a lion, the male lion, Aslan. So I get a little annoyed with this, more than a little annoyed. I think this is wrong, evil. This is a misrepresentation of everything that C.S. Lewis put into the Chronicles of Narnia. This director should not have anything to do with this series, because she obviously not only does not care, but she knows what she's doing. She knows that this is going to cause controversy and doesn't care because she wants to use the stories for her own ends. Fine. I suppose that's fine. That is how our society works. I am generally in favor of freedom of dialogue, freedom to discuss things, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to mince words when it comes to what this really is. This is an attempt to redefine God. Now, let's be clear. God is spirit. As a spirit, he has no gender. He is neither male nor female. That being said, within the Christian tradition, we've always been really clear that the best analogy, if you will, for what we understand, who we understand God to be, God the Father, is that he is a father, not a mother, although there are aspects occasionally where he takes on attributes of motherhood. But the best understanding for God is that he is a father. And so it is probably not coincidental that when God the Word became incarnate, he became incarnate as a man, as Jesus. And when Christ, when Lewis portrays this in the alternate reality of Narnia, he's very clear. Aslan is the lion, the male lion. He has a mane. Everybody refers to him as he. In fact, it's kind of ironic. Very often the characters will talk about he or him, and you know, everybody knows exactly who they're referring to. Occasionally they do the same thing with the White Witch, and it's like her. And everybody knows exactly who they're referring to, the evil character. That's not to say that male is good and female is bad. Lewis is really clear about that too. You have two guys and two girls as the four kings and queens of Narnia. And once a king or queen of Narnia, always a king or queen of Narnia. He's not saying that female is evil or bad. He's rather reinforcing the classic 2,000-year-old tradition, well, now 2,000-year-old tradition, of representing God as masculine and us, the creation, as feminine. This is one of the key understandings of Christianity, that we, as the human race, are intended to be the bride of God. We, as the church, are the bride of Christ. And so the relationship between the creator and the creation is that between the lover and the beloved. And that in no way reduces the importance of the creation. The creation is beloved. But there are problems when this order is overthrown. And that's what we're doing. Or that's what Greta Gerwig is doing with the Narnian Chronicles, with this casting of Meryl Streep as Aslan. I'm sorry. One of the things that annoys me especially about this, besides the fact that this to me is a sacred text, and to many Christians, this is a sacred text, not on the level of scripture, but, you know, maybe right next to it, right under it. So messing with it is just not respectful in any way, shape, or form. I mean, if you want to take an author's work and celebrate it and turn it into film, that's great. But you should do that with a certain level of respect for what the author is intending to do. You don't get to just take it and rewrite it however you want. This is not, at the very least, not respectful. If this was some fundamental text of some other non-Western religion or culture, this would not be tolerated for a moment by the same people who are trying to rewrite the Chronicles of Narnia with a female Aslan. They're like, oh, this would not be respectful. You know, you can't, J.K. Rowling shouldn't really be using the Thunderbird. Okay, you know, let's talk about that. But I do think that there is space for appropriating elements of other religions and cultures. Lewis does that in the Narnian Chronicles. He takes what was at that point understood to be dead religions, like the Greek myths, and he works them in to show them the sort of the proper relationship between those mythical stories and the true story, the story of God as he became one of us, God as he became man. So you have, in Prince Caspian, you have Bacchus showing up as along with Silenus and the Meneids. And what does he say now here? There we go. So of course, Lewis is not averse to taking elements of what he would have understood as, at that point, dead religions, certainly dead within the context of Christianized Britain that he's writing to, or re-Christianized Britain as he's trying to write to. And he takes Bacchus and the Meneids, and they come and they have a romp with Aslan. And there's vines growing over the all over the place, and an old man, enormously fat, on a donkey, keeps calling out, "Refreshments! Time for refreshments!" and falling off the donkey. And they get to this this part of the book, and are reflecting on their experience of the romp with Aslan and Bacchus and the Meneids, Lucy remembers something and whispers to Susan, "I say, Sue, I know who they are." "Who?" "The boy with the wild face is Bacchus, and the old one of the donkey is Silenus. Don't you remember Mr. Tumnus telling us about them long ago?" "Yes, of course. But I say, Lou." "What?" I wouldn't have felt safe with Bacchus and all his wild girls if we hadn't met them without Aslan. I should think not, said Lucy. So Lewis, as I say, is totally not averse to taking elements of Greek mythology and other forms of mythology and fantasy and magic and working them into the Narnian Chronicles in order to show that what he understands is their right relationship to God. So I guess, you know, on that level, you could make an argument that somebody could take elements from the Narnian Chronicles and work them into another story, as I suppose in some respects the Golden Compass did, as that author, I forget his name now, was trying to write an anti-C.S. Lewis, an anti-Narnia. No, fair enough. That's part of the dialogue. But to take something in its entirety and pretend that you are going to represent this in film in a way that is supposedly, well, as it's obviously dependent upon the author, then you should maybe respect the author enough to not take something as fundamental as his representation of the incarnate God, Christ himself, the Word of God made flesh, and just say, oh, yeah, it's time to have a woman represent it. Sorry, this is blasphemy. This should not go forward. I will not. They've at least made it really easy for me to decide whether or not I'm going to watch this. Initially I was thinking, oh, well, Greta Gerwig, maybe she'll do a good job. It'll be interesting to see the Magician's Nephew brought to the screen. I'm kind of not looking forward to it because I don't think she really gets it. But you've made my job easier. Thank you. You don't get it. You should not be making this movie. This should not be going forward. I will not be watching it. This is blasphemy.